We are in the place where God shows up, and so happy to be here and see all of you today. Welcome. Glad you're here. Who has had the experience of waking up in the morning and it just seems like from the get-go things aren't going right, you know? So the alarm, well, you wake up and you look at the clock and there's 15 more minutes before the alarm goes off. I hate that. So you try to go back to sleep, but you're not really able to, you know, it's just one of those not quite comfortable. And then you get up and you stub your toe going to the bathroom, and then you get dressed and your sock has a hole in it, and just one thing after another, and pretty soon you start feeling like, I should just go back to bed and start over because this is not going well. On the other hand, some mornings you wake up and you look, and just as you're looking at the clock, the alarm goes off. Perfect. You know, it's just the right time. And you get up and you're everything, you get dressed easily, you feel it's a good hair day, you know, you feel like you look good. You go on in, you have your breakfast, and you go to work, and the traffic's light, you know, so you get to work, and it's a few minutes extra. There are those days where everything just seems to flow, you know. You had some of those too? Yeah, those are nice. I think, wouldn't it be nice to be able to predict or maybe even cause things to be in the flow? Huh? I think it would be good. Well, there's this little book. Actually, a friend of mine wrote it. His name is Steve Taylor. It's called Row, Row, Row Your Boat. I met Steve when I was in the Texas church. He went to one of the Dallas churches. And his now wife, Carol, he was writing it when I first met him. It's just a simple book, but powerful. Just a great little metaphor for living life in the flow. In fact, the subtitle is A Guide for Living Life in the Divine Flow. So that's what it's about. And what he's done is he has taken the song, that little row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream, that song, and made that the basis for how to live life in the divine flow. So that's what we're going to explore today, is the pieces of that song. He talks in here in the preface about his pre-unity life, I guess I'd call it, and he said that he was actually a successful advertiser. He wrote commercials for TV, you know, so he was pretty successful. He starts off describing a business trip that he took to L.A. years back, and the hotel that he was staying in, he wasn't going to this conference, but there was a conference that was being held there, and in the lobby was a great big sign, and it said, "Make it happen." And he talks about how that was his motto. He says, "Make it happen. To me, those three words were much more than one company's war cry for the week. To me, those three words were the motto of my life. For I had always believed that if I wanted to get anything in particular out of life, then it was up to me, and only me, to make it happen. The way I saw it, the world wasn't out to do me any favors. Nothing came easy, and nothing came for free. And to put my faith in anyone or anything other than myself, well, that seemed foolish to me. Whatever the goal, the only way to achieve success, I thought, was through hard work, determination, and above all, control." He goes on to talk about how that was just the way he was in business. He had a partner, and he talks about an occasion when she gets angry with him. Working on a project, she got angry with me because I was once again second-guessing her work and trying to force things to go my way. Anybody ever know anybody like that? Yeah. So she tells him, you know, your way isn't the only way. There are other ways. You don't have all the answers. And she says, you don't always know what's best. You need to let go and let me do my job. So she told him, you know, here's what I think. He said that he had been accused, I guess, of being controlling before, but it had never really sunk in. And this time, though, it did, because he could concede that, yes, he was being kind of controlling. There was her criticism was justified. He decided that he would try to do that. He would try to let go. And for someone who has been clutching so desperately all his life, it was not an easy thing to do. But he said, and this was interesting, I thought, the way he said this. The moment I let go of the idea that everything had to go my way, suddenly everything did go my way. Maybe not the way I expected, but certainly in a way that was greatly to my benefit and to the benefit of all involved. Instead of working against me, it now felt as if the whole world was working for me. So he had a real change of heart, and it was very powerful. So then he set about writing this book. And as I said, the whole book is to explain this metaphor of the little song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. He takes the words apart and puts meaning to them. So the first one is the boat. The boat, row, row, row your boat. And so the boat is each one of us. Your boat is you. And it isn't, you have a body, of course, and you also have a spirit. You can't be separated, even if you wanted to. You can't be separated from God, you know. So of course that's there. And your mind, that's a part of it too. So in a boat, you know, you will be able to decide where it is that you want to go. That's the boat. Every boat has to have some means of moving. And in this case, because it's row your boat, we're choosing the oars. He says that the oars are our free will. And when you think about it, it makes sense. As we're going through life, we do have free will to go where we want to go and how we want to go. So the oars, as we're in the boat, and then is us, and the oars are our free will. The stream doesn't take rocket science to figure out that that's the stream of life, except in his terms, what he says in traditional terms, it means that the ever-present and everywhere present divine flow. He says it's God's will at work in your life. What God wants for you. So he's careful to point out that God's will isn't some command. You know, you can't do this or you can have to do this. It is your highest and best. So we can live life without ever stepping into the stream. If that stream is God's good for us, we can step into that, be attuned to that, be in the flow of that, and that's what we want to do. So that's what the stream is. Row, row, row. It is, rowing is to move us closer to our destination, whatever that is. Now, many of us have decided, I'd like to be this, I'd like to have this, I'd like to go here, I'd like to do this. And it feels like, almost like we're up on a ramp or something, and so as we're rowing, nothing's happening. We're not getting anywhere. And if it doesn't seem like we're getting closer to our destination, he has some questions that we can ask ourselves to see if there's a reason, you know, if we can identify the reason for not making progress. He said the first question is, do you really want to go where you say you want to? You would think that the answer would be sort of, well, of course I know where I want to go. But sometimes what we say we want, and we do want it, but there's a part of us that is afraid or doesn't want it, will kind of keep us rooted. He gives an example of him writing this book. He said that he was writing and he was just totally ignoring the whole publishing side because that loomed large and scary. He didn't know what it was going to take to get it published. He was almost afraid to start delving into it because he was afraid that he would be too overwhelmed and then would lose momentum on the writing part. So he just sort of put that aside. So yes, he wanted to be published, but he was sort of afraid. Did he really want to go where he said he did? Another example that I have seen in my life. I used to at one time work crisis line for abused women, and worked for crisis nursery and got to work with mothers, and so I have seen people, women especially, who would end up doing things that at some level kept them where they were really more comfortable. Sometimes in an abusive situation, for example, nobody wants to be in an abusive situation, but sometimes it's scarier to think about what it might be outside it, to leave, you know, without some visible means of support or something. So do you want to be, what do you want, and what do you really want, and are they in sync? That's one place to look. A tool that can be very useful in this part, and this goes along with our prosperity class that really kind of echoes all of this, is visualization. So where we really want to go, visualization is a powerful tool for helping us achieve it. And it says that if you can't even imagine, if you can't see yourself in whatever it is that you're wanting, it's not going to happen. You have to be able to see it. You have to be able to imagine it, visualize it for it to come about. And visualization then is a great tool for us to use. Second question, are you paying attention to what's going on around you? How many of you notice signs that you're on the right path, that you're doing the right thing? Anybody? A few of you. Sometimes people look at you like you're kind of crazy, you know, if you say. But I've told some of you the story about how on my trip to come here to talk to the board for the first time, there were some things some signs that validated for me that yes, this is what I'm supposed to do. If you look at what is going on around you, often it can kind of be like I was thinking of bowling, when kids bowl and they put those bumper guards in the gutters, you know, to keep the ball going in the same. Those can be like that. Again, in his example of the publishing, he said that what was happening around him was first his now wife, Carol, told him about some organization that had classes, and she thought maybe he could find something there that would help him with the publishing. And he thought about it, but no, probably not. They wouldn't have a class on publishing, and so he blew it off. And then he was at church not long after that. He heard somebody there, a guy named Larry, talking about this same organization that his wife had mentioned. And he describes this feeling that he had, and it was the same one. So he kind of, well, wait a minute, I just heard about this. He then got in that conversation with those people, were talking with Larry and the other guy about this university or whatever it was that offered classes. And it was in talking to them that he realized that he, every day for a month, had been driving past a billboard that had the name and the website of this university, and he didn't notice it. So you know, are you paying attention to what's going on around you? Number three, are you paying attention to what's going on within you? I don't know about you guys, but I wasn't really brought up to trust my intuition, but I've learned to do that more and more and more. If we will allow it, our higher self, our divine, our spirit, spirit within us, or intuition, or that gut feeling, if we will just pay attention, often we will have the direction, the guidance that we need. It's a wonderful thing for us to be aware of and to begin to do. And if you don't do that, if you don't pay attention, if you start getting feelings that don't feel right, in fact, the story in the book that we are studying, there's a story of in The Soul of Money, Lynn Twist talks about going to visit an executive who was going to make a donation, and she just kept feeling worse and worse inside as she went to talk with the guy, and then She did get the check, but it didn't feel right. She ended up returning it to him because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel like accepting that check was in congruence, if you will, with the integrity of the program, what the program was supposed to do. So pay attention, because even if you get a kind of feeling, then it's could be that you might not want to be engaging in whatever that is that caused that feeling. Next question. Are you willing to let go of what you think you know? I'm an older child, and I'm a Leo, and so sometimes it's awfully hard for me to back down. I don't know all the answers, and so are we willing to let go of what we think we know? It's a wonderful way to be, because if we can stop and evaluate, oh, wait a minute, I think I know this, but to be open to it, then I think it's even better. If I were to say, I really would like to have a podium. Gosh, I wish I had a clear acrylic podium. It would be wonderful. I don't see a podium anywhere around, and I don't have a podium. And if I'm closed in my mind, I don't have one because I can't see it with my senses. It's not anywhere around. If I'm open, if I'm willing to accept the maybe I don't know everything. Maybe there's a different way to look at it. I might be willing to hear one of you say, "Turn around." Oh, so I don't know. You know, we don't know everything, and it's important to be willing to accept what's that there may be something different. And another piece of that might mess us up sometimes is when we are thinking about the destination, thinking about where we want to go, often we know we're here and we see where we want to go, and we're so focused on where it is we want to go that we will decide that the only way to get from here to there is this, this, and this. And so we're just locked into that. And that may not be always the best way to be. What we might want to do is have that idea that that's what I want, but we might want to just really be focused on the next right step. Many, many examples in his book and in my life, in your lives, I'm sure. If I can just be willing to take the next right step. And we know here's something I can do that comes, it feels right to do that next step. Do that. That may not be the step that's going to get us there, but it may be the step that's going to cause what we need to come into place. So we just want to focus on the next right step. Which brings us then to the next word. Row your boat gently down the stream. Gently. He says, remain flexible to the flow. It is possible. If we know that's what we want, and we're going to get there, we can just charge ahead and we can make it happen. Our power is strong enough that absolutely can happen. And yet, that may not be the best. You know, it is one way of living and doing, but it may not be the best for ourselves and everybody. There's a saying, this is when the going gets tough, the tough get going. What Steve Taylor says is what we would rather or would be better served to do would be say, when the going gets tough, the wise stop rowing. Not that you're quitting, but it is that you just stop rowing and you take stock. You pay attention to what's going on. How do I feel? What's going on around me? Maybe there's another step somewhere else. So gently down the stream. Down is the next word. So that one's pretty obvious. It's way easier to go down the stream with the flow than it is upstream. Escalators. Most of us step onto an escalator. It carries us to the next floor and we step off. We don't have to lift a foot. You know? But if we decide that we're going to go the opposite way, so there's an escalator going down and we decide to use it to go up, we can do it. But it's harder. You know, you have to you have to climb it, number one, instead of letting it carry you. And number two, you're going against the way it's the flow of it. So down the stream is good. Life is but a dream, a dream. A dream is a perception. It is what we think is going to be, you know, heaven on earth for us. Life is but a dream. My dream is to be here in this area, close to my family. And yet that's not going to be your dream. You know, each of you has your own dream, your own perception of where it is that you're going, your own destination, what you want. And then the word that is repeated four times, merrily, 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 merrily. And it's not a surprise, because in Unity we pay so much attention to our thoughts. You know, it is our thinking. So in this rowing down the stream gently, if we can also do it merrily, or what he says is, I like his wording. He says, choosing to see every questionable situation as a miracle in the making and a blessing about to bloom. Isn't that positive? I love that. If we can see all of it in that way. I loved what you said, Pat, about the world events. And so seeing things from the perspective of our affirmative words that we typically use. Know the truth behind it. And so our affirmative statements are important as we go through life. When we use our affirmative statements, when we have that mindset of, you know, seeing things as miracles about to happen, then we are better, much better able to realize that happiness doesn't come from out there, that it is something that we it's an out, within out kind of thing. And then finally, life. Life is but a dream. We do go through life, but it's important to know that life really isn't about the destination. I have lived long enough to have had several new cars, to have had houses that I've loved, to have had the children and watched them grow. I've had wonderful experiences, and yet the destination for each of those was wonderful, you know, and it wasn't it. The best part was the journey. The best part was the journey. And it's really true. And knowing all of that, then love is vital. It's like the key that makes everything go. So this powerful little book, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, when you think about your life, if you can remember this little song and then think about what it means behind that, I think that in any situation you can apply some of these metaphysics and perhaps see a different way of moving and being. Talking about being in the flow, Friday, I get several inspiring emails, you know, one from the universe and Chris Chenoweth and so forth. Well, and Daily Word. Friday, a note from the universe had in it, the more you give, Sharon, the more you will receive. That's the flow. Well, isn't that interesting? Next email I opened Friday was, the word was, in the flow. Son of a gun. And so I want to close this with that reading, because it summarizes beautifully, I think, what this book is saying, what we've been doing in our prosperity class. In the flow, I am one with the all-knowing mind of God, is the affirmation. I am an inlet and outlet for divine energy and ideas that flow from God. Divine mind is seeking to fully express through me. Just as a clear spring flows forth as a rushing brook, so the mind of God pours forth into perfect expression through me. I let this rushing current find its way through me. I set aside distracting thoughts in a time of quiet reflection and become still. In the stillness, I acknowledge that the guidance I seek is also seeking me. The infinite mind of God needs outlets for expression. I am that outlet, and my role is not to force, but to allow divine life to express through me. I relax into the divine flow and my mind is at peace. I am one with the all-knowing mind of God. So let's take this opportunity to practice this oneness. I would invite you to become comfortable in your seat. Gently close your outer eyes if you haven't already. We might bring to mind the words of the song, first song we heard, in the stillness. And we create that stillness within us. We still our bodies by relaxing, by letting go, by being willing to let the chair completely support us. We practice stillness by allowing our minds to slow. Thoughts may come through, but we bring our attention back to our breathing. We just watch the breath mentally as it comes into our body and goes out. And as we allow ourselves to deepen those breaths and lengthen them, find ourselves relaxing even more. It is in this quiet, in this stillness, that we are stepping into the stream, into the flow. Into this stream, we allow the waters to carry us. We are relaxed. We are trusting. One of the pictures in the video was of a child on a raft. So we might imagine for a moment that we are lying in a pool of quiet water, still, on a raft. And it's a warm, beautiful day, and the sun is shining. We are perfectly content. We are still. We are floating. We are totally supported in the water. And so it is in our life, as we relax, become still, and let God, let that divine within support. It is when we are quiet and relaxed like this that we can begin to feel stress melt away, dissolve. Fear, anger, any emotion that is not in agreement with our true self just dissipates. We are simply still. We open our hearts, we open our minds to the awareness of the love, the amazing love of our Creator. We let it settle into us that this stream that we've been talking about is God's will for us, which is our highest and best. It's all good. This Creator wants the ultimate best for us. ours is peace. Ours is love. Ours is health. Ours is wisdom. In the stillness, we are receptive, willing to allow those things that are already there to blossom forth in us and through us and as us. We are expressions of the light. And so now for a few moments, as we do each week, let us continue this mental image of floating peacefully, this feeling image of knowing and trusting and being loved into the silence, into the silence. Each and every time we make this time to be in the stream, to be connected, to be in the flow, we find ourselves coming out of these times calm and peaceful, full of an awareness, a wonderful awareness of our connection with our Creator. And we are grateful. Grateful to know that we are children of the Beloved, that we have been created in that image of love, of life, of wisdom, power. That is our inheritance, and we claim it. And so in deep gratitude and in love, we come together to pray, to affirm the words that our Master Teacher, our Way-Shower, Jesus Christ, taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.